Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's a Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws because they are free. Joshua Fisher, Alexander Tossin, Rock, Tassopoulos, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. Gentlemen, football season's right around the corner. A lot of wide receivers have been given their top fives. Cooper Kupp gave his. I believe Jamar Chase gave his on I Am Athlete. And who doesn't love giving a top five list? We love making lists. You love it, Nick. Toss loves it. So that's what we're going to do.
I think that's like the bond for all of us is we love making lists together. We came out to LA and I was like, Josh, like, I don't know you that well, but, you know, I really like making lists. And you're like, dude, me too. We should start a podcast about all the lists that we've made. And here we are over 500 episodes in.
Mm-hmm. Think about all the, I mean, realistically, think about all the lists we've done. Our friendship started on when we listed our favorite types of food to order at a Chinese restaurant. That's where Nick and I's friendship. Alex and I was ice cream, very food oriented. Then we went on to discover we all like sports together. And then we formed the Charity Stripe for anyone that doesn't know how the sausage was made. What's your favorite thing to order at a Chinese restaurant, Nick? I don't actually remember that original list we made.
I am probably your only Chinese friend, right? A quarter Chinese. So
yeah. Let me guess. Are you pork spare ribs?
No, I am not.
At all?
No, I don't think I've ever ordered that. I've had it before, but like, yeah. I don't think I'd personally order that. I personally go for salt and pepper shrimp or kung pao beef or kung pao chicken.
Okay. Nice. Toss, I know you weren't part of this list and Nick was. Again, it was a long time ago, but if you want to weigh in on what your favorite thing to order at a Chinese restaurant was, just before we talk football, we'd love to hear.
It's kind of basic, but I'm a big orange chicken guy.
It's not basic. You know what? That's another thing. It's basic. Or like, oh, people always get that? Yeah, because it's good.
It is really good. Yeah, I like to get beef lo mein.
Yeah.
I like to get beef lo mein and mix the orange chicken in with the lo mein.
That's nice.
As opposed to like the orange chicken with the rice. I like orange chicken with rice. Nothing wrong with that. But something about the lo mein noodles just really does it for me.
Lo mein noodles hit diffy and everybody knows it. I'm sure, like, obviously you guys are waiting with bated breath to hear what I like. And I alluded to it earlier, and that would be the pork spare ribs. All right, now let's talk some football.
You can finally eat those now too. I took a two-year break of meat.
I did take a two-year break of meat and a different conference. Yeah, it's been an interesting road back, but I feel good to be back in the meat gang. I've eaten so much Chick-fil-A since I've been back that it's unseen-y. Okay, guys, let's talk football. The top fives are generally going to be what they're going to be across the board. I feel like there's not going to be that many surprises. So our little hitches, we're going to throw like two or three guys we think can work their way in. Some guys may be as expected. So if you have a top five and one guy's left off the list, that could be worked in there. But also, guys, maybe you feel, hey, they're not getting enough love and, you know, some shot in the darks, some dark horses to get involved in the top five. We'll start with the quarterbacks.
Yep.
Keep it simple. Nick, I'll go to you, then Toss, and then I'll close that out. So quarterbacks, I know, Nick, we'll get to you for receivers. We'll start again with you there first. That's your position of expertise, but we'll go quarterbacks with you first. Top five QBs going into the season, and three guys you think can work their way into the top five for you.
Okay, yeah. So I've got Patrick Mahomes at number one. I think that a lot of people probably are sleeping on him for some weird reason because they were sleeping on him last year and they're putting Allen or Rodgers ahead of him or sometimes even Herbert ahead of him, but it's still Patrick Mahomes. He's still one of the most talented players in all the NFL. There's a reason why he's got $500 million on that contract.
Yeah.
I think that he prevails and becomes that top guy again and really lights the AFC on fire. Number two, I do have Josh Allen just because he took him so far last year, put the whole entire team on his back and his versatility to run the ball, but also have that big playability with his arm. Number three, I got Aaron Rodgers. How can you not have the two-time reigning MVP in your top five? Number four, I got Justin Herbert. don't know why I picked Justin Herbert.
But
I mean, not even just my bias. He put together the two greatest seasons by a first and second year player that anyone's ever seen. Broke records,
statistically,
touchdowns, yards. Yeah, statistically. And look, I mean, he was this close to being in the playoffs last year. If his coach maybe made a better decision, maybe he would be in the playoffs. And who knows how far they would have gone. You know, teams definitely get hot. But that's moment number four. And then he can definitely work his way up there as well. I mean, he's definitely a sneaky favorite of mine to take the MVP. He's got good odds at betonline.ag. And then number five, I got Joe Burrow, the kid also returning to the Super Bowl, or from the Super Bowl. I think, you know, fully healthy, back a second year. He's got another year to mold all of his receivers together. You know, it's just another year of Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase.
And some quick finger work, because we're live on YouTube right now. I know this is our 1090 episode, but our quick finger work toss. Is that you doing that? Somebody else is in here doing that. Wow, very interesting. All right, we have a full-on ticker. Right now going on down below. I'll give mine next. My top five. They're pretty similar. Pretty similar top five. For me, I have Rodgers one. Back-to-back MVPs. Very tough to not give him the number one slot going into the season. I have Mahomes at two. Until he falls off a cliff, I have Tom Brady at three. Obviously, I'm buying into the Josh Allen hype. I have him at four. And I know your boy Herbert is fantastic. He was very close to going to the playoffs last year. He's put up two unbelievably great statistical years. But one guy did go to the playoffs last year, and he went to the Super Bowl as well. And that's Joe Burrow, so I have him at five. So my top five would be Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady, Allen, Burrow. Toss, kicking it to you.
I've got a little bit of both of y'all's lists on mine. I've got Rodgers at the one spot. I agree with you, Josh. I can't really see anyone else at that slot just because of the back-to-back MVPs, what he's done for as long as he's done, and it doesn't seem like he's slowing down. I've got Mahomes at two. The distinction between him and Josh Allen for me is that he's won Super Bowl. He's been to two. Allen still is yet to get there, but they're neck and neck at the two and then three. Fourth, I've got Nick's guy. I've got Justin Herbert. The talent it's very real, and he's going into year three. I expect, you know, even better play from him this year. And then at five, I have, you know, the respect play with Brady. Because until he shows me otherwise, you know, he almost threw for a career-high touchdown number last year. Like, we can't forget how good he was. So those are my five. I did, like, for all of these lists, I did a what do I think right now going into the season? Where do I think it's going to get? And in my five, at the end of the season, I think Burrow is going to be in there. And I think Brady, this is the year where I don't think he's going to have a bad year. I just think that what Burrow is going to be able to do with that team getting better, getting older, him having, you know, more time to establish a connection with T. Higgins, who he really came on strong with at the end of that season, actually had a higher target share than Ja'Marr Chase, as effective as Ja'Marr Chase was. Who, you know, Ja'Marr Chase was the best deep ball receiver in the league last year. And then the other guy that I'll throw out there who I don't want us to sleep on, because he's still only 33, but I think Russell Wilson could put together a season where for the next 3 years, he's back into, he still has so much of his prime left to play. And now he's finally in a good situation for him with an all encompassing holistic team that can do it on both sides of the football. I think that Russell Wilson could easily end up back in our top five quarterback discussions by the end of the season.
Love that. I'll say my quick guys I think can get in there. Herbert, I left him off the list. He's probably right in there for me. Lamar, you guys know how I feel about the Ravens heading into the season. And then I'm with you on Russell Wilson. I think those are my top three. Nick, real quick, who are your top three guys that could break into the top five? And then Toss, I'll go back to you for running backs.
Got to go Brady, number one. I mean, yeah, obvious reasons. Lamar Jackson, number two. And then you've got some stake and some shares on this island, Derek Carr Island. Pairing up with Devontae Adams again, and obviously Darren Waller getting fully healthy and Hunter Renfrow, that could be very, very good for Derek Carr.
I don't think I have steak there. I think I have some, like, you know, picket signs there in the past. Nick, you're the one that has steak there. I'm in it, though. I'm like,
what do you mean? I have not been vocal about being on his side.
But you've been vocal about the Raiders being like a team that you've, ironically, because your dad supports them a little bit. Am I correct in that feeling?
Yeah.
Your dad supports them a little bit. So there have been a team that you've always had your eye on. I think we all are starting to buy a little stock in Derek Carr. I feel like this is like Dogecoin for us. We're like testing the waters. Like, can this thing really explode? And the potential's there. If Elon Musk tweets about Derek Carr, maybe we'll have an unbelievable season. All right, Toss, top five running backs real quick. And then give
the other
guys
guy I'll mention.
Yeah.
The other guy I'll mention alongside Derek Carr, because I think he's in a similar boat, but in a slightly different position, where Derek Carr's offensive weapons have gotten a lot better. I think the Dak have gotten worse. But he's the same kind of
good shout
talent
out.
Level as Derek Carr, where I think like we're going to be looking, he's going to have a huge microscope on him this next year. And can he become like a top seven quarterback? And of course, if Dak's playing well, because he's on the Cowboys, people will talk about him as a top five quarterback, right? Whether he is from a talent standpoint or not. I'll get into the running backs, though. At the one, I have Jonathan Taylor. At the two, I have Derrick Henry. Then I've got Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, then Christian McCaffrey. That's my list.
McCaffrey at the five. Okay.
Yes.
I have
solely
Henry.
Because of
yeah.
time that he spent on the field.
Okay. I have Henry at the one. When he is healthy, to me, he is the best running back. I have at the two, Jonathan Taylor was absolutely phenomenal last season. No one can argue that. At the three, again, when on the field, obviously he spent time, as you just mentioned, off the field with injuries. Christian McCaffrey is one of the most dynamic offensive players we've seen in the last decade. Top five, I would say, in that category, potentially. I love what Dalvin Cook did last year when he was on the field. You know, it's with running backs, it's always when they're on the field. These guys get banged up a lot. But when Dalvin's on the field, he, again, is a very dynamic playmaker with the ball in his hands. And there's a lot of pressure on this Vikings team now because, not to cheat myself, but they have two guys in the top five at wide receiver and at running back. And, you know, running back's shelf life, as we know, is not very long. This is the time for that offense to strike and strike now, especially with Green Bay losing Devontae Adams. Then I have at the five spot, this is a lot of stock I'm buying on this island this season. It's Alvin Kamara. And I think that people forgot about him last year. And again, another guy who was absolutely dynamic 2 years ago with 16 rushing touchdowns. I'm not saying he gets back there, but I think, again, with the guy with the ball in his hands, is a threat to make a big play at any moment or at least get good chunk yardage. I love Alvin Kamara. Nick, top five. And then kick us with your three guys that can get in.
Yeah, so Jonathan Taylor, number one, he had an outstanding season and stayed healthy. Number two, Nick Chubb. Let's see what happens with Kareem Hunt. Let's see if they, don't give him as many carries or if he gets traded. I mean, they say they're not going to trade him, but that might take away some carries from him. But Nick Chubb also is a big force to be reckoned with. Number three, Derrick Henry. I mean, it's hard to resist him with that big frame and just how he dominates, but he did come off that injury. So I kind of put the guys that have injuries a little bit lower.
Fair.
Number four, I took Austin Eckler. Look, he had just as many touchdowns last season as Jonathan Taylor. And now he gets a guy to spell him in the backfield and Isaiah Spiller to give him some plays off. So I think he stays fully healthy and definitely keeps turning up the gear here for the Chargers. Mm-hmm. Number five, Dalvin Cook is electric, but the injury history, again, bugs me a little bit. The guys I can sneak in, of course, Christian McCaffrey. I got Harris from the Steelers, mm-hmm. and I've got Williams from the Broncos, Javonte mm-hmm. Williams.
Yeah, I felt I'd left Javonte Williams and Najee off. Obviously, those guys are unbelievable and they could totally sneak in. I tried to get a little spicier with things. For me, you guys mentioned him, Nick Chubb. It was tough to leave him off. It's tough to leave Eckler off.
I think it's a mistake that you have Nick Chubb off your top.
I think it's a mistake, too. It's just tough, though, for me because I love Kamara so much. I love Eckler, too, friend of the pod. The next two guys I'm throwing out there are complete wild cards, and I'll give you a quick analysis on why I like them. One guy, and this I'm going all in on him this year, AJ Dillon. I think the Packers are going to run the you know what out of the football, and nothing against Aaron Jones. I think this is the year that AJ Dillon could break out. He's in year three. You saw Derrick Henry kind of move things. He's a massive running back, and we saw him kind of move, not slowly, but at a different pace in his first couple seasons. And then year three or four, he kind of breaks out. I love that for A.J. Dillon. I think they're really going to control the clock, run the football. Everyone's making a big hoopla of who Aaron Rodgers is going to throw the ball to. And I think he's going to put the ball in the running back's hands because both those guys are dynamic. And I think, again, 5+ yards per carry when he's on the field. Injuries were a big issue for him last year. But they add A.J. Brown. They have Devonta Smith. Goddard's a great tight end. And I think this is the year that Miles Sanders puts it all together. And I think he has a nice season. Toss, I know you're shaking your head over there.
Miles Sanders, I mean, we talked about running back health. Miles Sanders truly has shown that he cannot stay healthy.
Yeah.
And it's been a real shame because he is such a dynamic playmaker. That is a great question. Does A.J. Dillon love Josh? We know Josh loves A.J. Dillon. I'm right there with you, Josh. I think A.J. Dillon showed in spurts last year when Aaron Jones went down how dominant he can be. He's actually a much better pass catching back than people give him credit for. The other guy, I have Kamara, and I will be in the top five at the end of the season, because I think you have to kind of acknowledge where he was at the end of the season last year and how people were talking about him. But when you add Olave, when you bring back Michael Thomas, Jameis is healthy now. I think there's no question that Kamara should make his return back to top five running backs. Another guy I'll throw out there, I think Joe Mixon has a real good shot of getting in that top five running backs. You know, Zach Taylor really likes relying on that running game to open things up for Joe Burrow. And I don't think that's going to change this year. Just because Joe Burrow is getting more comfortable, they still need to start the offense there. And then they can beat people downfield. And I think, you know, Joe Mixon could be a guy that gets 10 plus, maybe 15 touchdowns this year. And I wouldn't be that surprised because he's a dynamic playmaker. But yeah, I like those picks. Nick, I really like the Najee pick. He easily could be a top three running back by the end of this year. And I don't think anybody would be batting an eye.
Yeah, no, I agree. He didn't put the ball on the ground last year, and they really relied on him to kind of fill the void for James Conner. And, you know, with a new quarterback coming in, they're really going to rely on the run game here. So I think that he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I love the shout out to Mixon. There's actually a lot of depth of the running back, and we mentioned Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin Cook's got a brother in the league right now, and apparently he looks good in camp. His name is James, and he plays for the Buffalo Bills. We'll see. It's a major dark horse. All right, wide receivers, and then we'll save tight ends for segment two, I guess. Wide receivers, my top five: Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson, who I think by the end of the season could be number one. Cooper Kupp obviously was incredible last year. I have him at number three. Jamar Chase, unbelievable rookie season. Him and Justin Jefferson, they've already been jawing like fun in a fun way, obviously former LSU teammates, but who the better receiver is. I have Jamar Chase at four. And at five, this was tough for me. I think he's like the most underrated or underappreciated receiver in the game. I think every year he's phenomenal. People view him as a kind of mid-range kind of guy, or because of his big frame, as a touchdown machine, but he's so good as a deep threat. I have Mike Evans, my number five.
You put on the charity stripe poll, do we think Mike Evans finishes top 10 all time? I don't think that's possible.
I think you should look at his numbers again. I think you should look at his numbers again, and I think I'll kick it to you, Nick, but I think after we're done recording, you should look at his numbers again. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Nick, before you go with your list, Nick, you have Kupp one, right?
I have the exact same thing Josh has besides number five. So
how
Devontae
can
you
not have
one.
Kupp as one after he just won the triple crown?
I think he's.
I'm not saying he's the best receiver. I just think, like,
yeah, but that's the season, thing. That's the question.
Coming into the season, he's the best receiver because he was the best receiver.
But numbers wise, but best. Who are the wide? I'm looking at this is the way I'm looking at it. Who's the wide receiver I want going into this year? The top five in order I would want going into this year. Davante Adams is number one. And you know what? Maybe without Rodgers, we'll look at things differently. There's always obviously that way to play. But from just what we've seen, there's no weakness. I get what you're saying.
I also believe Davante Adams is the best receiver in the league. But yeah, he's starting with a new quarterback, even though it's a guy that he has a lot of rapport with. But he hasn't taken an NFL snap with this guy before. So that's the reason why. I don't
know. An NFL snap, but he's taking a college. Nick, we're going to have to break through a segment, yeah, so I think we'll wait to get to segment two for your list because we want to get into it a little more, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I'll just give really quickly. Yeah. I have the same top four as you, top five. Stay tuned for the next segment to hear my number five. Big cliffhanger.
To hear number five. But before we get to the segment two, I do want to say Justin Jefferson from a talent perspective. We talk about guys that are quarterbacks. Derek Carr was mentioned in our top five potential quarterbacks, as was Joe Burrow. One guy that wasn't mentioned was Kirk Cousins. And not that I dislike Kirk Cousins, but imagine what a guy like, we say this to certain guys throughout history, like DeAndre Hopkins. Like, imagine what Justin Jefferson, I'll leave it this, can do with a guy who's mentioned in that top five quarterback list. He's so dynamic in every facet of the game. I think this is the year that he breaks out as the number one receiver. And it's crazy that the Minnesota Vikings, year after year, if you look, go through history, have had guys like Chris Carter and Randy Moss. We're the Charity Stripe. Josh Fisher, Alexander Desopoulos, Nikki Snacks-Crider. We'll be back in just a hot second with Nick's top five wide receivers breaking it down. We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws because they are free. Josh Fisher, Alexander Desopoulos, Nikki Snacks-Crider. We left off talking wide receivers, top five going into this year. We'll get to guys we think can break in. Nick, just so remind the people a little bit, your top five wide receivers, we gave you the top four, and Nick, you're going to reveal your number five right now.
Yeah, so the top four, number one was Davante Adams, number two, Justin Jefferson, number three, Cooper Kupp, number four, Ja'Marr Chase, have the exact same top four as Josh, although he had Mike Evans at number five. I'm going with Tyreek Hill at number five. Made a big splash this offseason getting traded to the Miami Dolphins. Look, Tua and Jalen Waddle had something very special in Miami last season. I think that'll continue, but adding that extra wide receiver that stretches out the field that can be so dynamic with the ball, I think Tyreek Hill definitely makes some big plays there. I don't buy into the fact that Mahomes, you know, made him the great receiver that he is. He was already great in my opinion, although Mahomes definitely is one of the best of all time. There might be a slight learning curve to get on the same page as Tua Tagovailoa, but I do buy into Tyreek Hill. And then a couple guys that I think can sneak their way in, and we take that with a grain of salt when I say sneak their way in because they've been in before. Stephon Diggs, of course. I mean, last year he was one of those guys. AJ Brown comes to a new team, gets a change in scenery. I think he's motivated. And then number three, toss your boy CeeDee Lamb. You know, he's going to be the top target for Dak here, and he might have to step up in a big way with all the injuries they have right now.
Nice. Toss. Nick, we're on the same page with wide receivers, but Toss, we'll go to you because you had some pushback on why neither of us had Cooper Kupp at number one, let alone number two even. So your top five, give us your three guys that can get in, and I'll give you my guys, my three that can get in at wide receiver.
Cool, yeah. I have Kupp at one. Then I have Jefferson at two, Chase at three, Devontae at four, and I have Diggs at five. But this is really like, it's a power rankings. My list is more of a power ranking. So what they did the previous season has a lot to do with it. Obviously, Devontae had a fantastic season, but I'm factoring in that he is with Derek Carr, that Renfro was a major target there, that Waller was a major target there, that they like to run the football out with Josh Jacobs, and that Cooper Kupp had one of the best season we've ever seen a receiver have. And yes, we had an extra week, but in the schedule, but I don't want to discredit that. I don't think he's going to be back at the number one slot by the end of this season. I think that with Stafford's health issues and you know, what teams are going to do defensively to try and mitigate what Kupp can do on the field, he'll take a slight step back. But he's also one of those guys where you can try, but you're not going to be able to stop him. You're just going to be able to potentially contain him. But I will say with Kupp and with Adams, where I'd like to see Jefferson kind of grow his game, part of it has to do with the quarterback he's playing with and the other wide receiver personnel on that team. He's not as savvy as a red zone target right now as Kupp and Davante Adams are. Davante Adams is automatic in the end zone. Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah.
And so is Cooper Kupp. When within 5 yards, when you only have to run a 5 to 10 yard route, those two guys run better routes than anyone in the NFL. And
yeah,
I'd like to see Jefferson has good size. So he should be able to be that type of receiver too. I think, you know, obviously he's a great threat. So is Chase. Chase is a little bit bigger, but I think for me, Chase, you know, what he needs to show is he needs to get 30 more targets. He needs to get 50 more targets and 30 more catches, rather. He needs to become a possession guy, not just a deep threat guy, for him to kind of get into that top two, potentially vying for the one spot. But I think he has the talent. I like your Jefferson ending up at the one slot by the end of the season. I love Davante Adams. And then Diggs, I think, you know, he had a quote-unquote down year last year, but he was still incredibly productive. And I think if he has a get-right year this year, that's a top three wide receiver in the NFL statistically. So, Nick, yeah. I really like your pick for him, especially with that air raid offense in Buffalo. CD, I think, is worth mentioning as well. AJ's a little tough for me because of Hurts. I just don't know. Like, at this point, as from a passing standpoint, I think that Tannehill's a better quarterback than Hurts is. But Hurts is so young that he has so much room for progress. I'm trying to think of any other guys that could kind of sneak in there. Mike Evans, obviously, I think is worth noting. Josh, I would just
say, like, with Hurts, that his improvisational skills and being able to move around the pocket and get out and throw on the run help and benefit AJ Brown, because, you know, if the play breaks down, AJ just breaks off his route and he can dump it off. And that creates for more big plays. And then my pushback on Diggs is that there's been games where Stephon Diggs has like two catches or like three catches. And that's nothing, you know, to his fault. It's the fact that Josh Allen rushes the ball for 20 times, right? Or like they don't throw it enough. So that's all scheme and play. And so he is a great receiver, but, you know, in terms of a top five power rankings, it's hard for me to put him in there just because sometimes he has those games where there's literally no productivity. And that's not his fault.
Yeah, I think reevaluating my like coming in list, I'd probably take Diggs off of that and have him where you had him. Is I think he can be back in there because from a talent standpoint, I think he certainly has the skill set. Tyreek Hill, the improvisational thing is interesting because I'm a little bit worried about Tua's ability to find him on those improvisational routes where Tyreek was so successful with Patrick Mahomes. No one was better at getting out of the pocket and then slinging it 50 yards, 60 yards down the field to Tyreek Hill, who at that point
no better combo
space.
Yeah, there's no better combo between those two.
So I have no doubt that he can hit him on the quick slants. I have no doubt that he can hit him on those screen passes, and then it's just Tyreek, do your thing. But I'm really going to be honing in on if Tua can escape out of the pocket and make Tyreek and show off what Tyreek really can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would love to throw, I mean, I'm all in on CeeDee Lamb. You guys know that. I'm where everyone is with Diggs. Two guys I want to throw out, two former top five guys. One guy suspended, DeAndre Hopkins. I think that's going to get reduced to 4 games. Apparently he looks good in camp. He's a Buckeye, so I'm riding with him. Michael Thomas. Don't be surprised if MT makes a comeback this year. And the biggest wild card I'll ever throw out, Amon Ross St. Brown. Okay, tight ends, guys. Let's get to tight ends. I do love Hop, and I love Amon Ross St. Brown. I just love also saying his name. I hope me. Anyway, tight ends.
This one's easy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, super easy.
I'll go first.
Go, yeah. Sling it.
Kelsey, Kittle, Andrews, Waller, Pitts. That's my list.
Okay. I think we all probably have the same list, but just it's in different orders. Right, Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have Wait. Can you give me yours again? Just one more time.
Kelsey, 1. Kittle, 2. Yeah. Andrews, 3. Again, this is power ranking, so a lot of this is coming off of his performance last year. Waller, 4. Then Pitts, 5.
Mine's different, but similar. I have the same top 3. I have Pitts at 4. I've Goddard at 5. Nick?
I've got the same as Toss. However, it's just in different order. I've got Kelsey 1, Waller 2, Andrews 3, Kittle 4, Pitts 5.
Kittle 4?
Classic me disrespecting Waller, Nick putting him high. Classic Nick disrespecting Kittle, me putting him high. That's classic right there.
Kittle's got a guy who hasn't played in the league very long and Trey Lance throwing to him.
Yeah, I have Waller in the outside looking in at the 5-6 slot.
I think it's a mistake.
Okay, that's fine. I know you think it's a mistake.
Look, they were double teaming him a lot. Now who's going to want to double team him when there's Davante Adams on the field?
Sure, 100%. That's a fair way to look at it. I have Hawkinson, getting in there. You guys know I love TJ Hockenson. And look, I love a tight end that can do it all. Block, receive. That's why I have Kittle at two. So I still will always herald Rob Gronkowski as the GOAT, not even because I'm a Patriots fan. Even though Kelsey's phenomenal, and Tony Gonzalez and Tony, we could go on and on about it. Pat Freiermuth, Pittsburgh Steelers, is a guy I want to throw out there. Unbelievable. He's a good blocker and unbelievable at contested catches. He's a real force. And I think he's going to get, look, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens has been getting great love in camp. I think Claypool still got some talent. Najee Harris. I think we're going to see something really interesting at the quarterback position in Pittsburgh. Big Ben was so terrible last year and they still made the playoffs. You may see a Tannehill-like resurgence by number 10, Mitchell Trubisky. Wow. There's a reason you took him at number two, and I think they just failed him in Chicago. I'm not saying he's going to be an elite quarterback. I'm just saying that he has more of a chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL than, let's say, a guy like Sam Darnold.
I like your Muth pick for sure. I just think that he can't do the same thing as at least my top four guys, even my top five guys, can do from a yak standpoint. After the catch, he's not as good as Kelsey or Kittle or Waller or Andrews. He's just not as those guys. He's not as fast. You're right. He can do it all, except Kelsey can. What do you have, like a 60-yard touchdown last year? I mean, it was as longest of his career. I love Muth. I love the Muth, though. He's a great red zone target, Josh. So is Hockenson. I worry what they can do after the catch. Not worry, but that's my like point of contention why they're not those other guys to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got three guys that can sink their way in. Hockenson, of course. I mean, we loved him last season, and if he didn't get hurt, in the middle of the season, maybe he even is in the top five. Knox, number two, big red zone target for Josh Allen. I mean, he loved him, and I think that just continues. And then number three, this is a sneaky one. Justin Herbert targeted tight ends 137 times last season.
That's okay, that's a lot.
They actually get an upgrade from Jared Cook to Everett. So I think that's potentially a sneaky tight end to work his way in there, just in terms of targets.
If you're going to throw that guy in there, then I have to throw it out Dalton Schultz too, because that guy actually could lead tight ends in receptions, and I wouldn't be surprised. He's got a great mind meld with Dak Prescott, and is just a receptions beast. So like, if you're a PPR guy and you're not the type to take a tight end in your top three picks, we're talking fantasy here, and you want to wait on a tight end, I think Dalton Schultz is a good pick there.
If Gerald Everett is a top five fantasy tight end, I will do a reverse dinner at any restaurant you want. Cake, steak, salad.
Cake, steak, and salad?
In that order. We could be at the nicest place ever, and I'll order that in the reverse dinner. I'll reverse dinner myself. I already owe somebody else a reverse dinner, so at this point, what's there to lose? All right. Great top five, guys. Toss, we'll kick it to you, man. We'll let you lead the charge on baseball and any shout outs. We have to give some advertisers, of course.
We shouted out our wonderful sponsors, betonline.ag, but I'll just plug them again here. Go to betonline.ag, use the promo code BELIEVE50, get 50% off on your first deposit. Plenty of fun bets there. You can bet on the rest of the MLB season. You can bet on who's going to win the World Series. Nick, I want to start with you. Since acquiring Soto, you know, it started rocky, but I think that, you know, that Manny Machado walk-off and winning that game the other night, do you think that kind of flipped the tide a little bit, and hopefully that momentum can progress and take this Padres team where they need to go and prime them for the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, look, they were on a 5-game losing streak. During that losing streak, they had, I think, a 23 or 24 inning scoreless streak. They had a tough stretch against the Dodgers, and then they got shut out 1-0 against the Giants in the first game of the series. And then the resurgence of the offense came back. The shaky part is they were up 3-1 in that game two, and Josh Hader gave up 3 runs to blow the lead. So that's the only reason Manny Machado had to hit that walk off. But it's definitely kind of the kick in the butt that the team needs, right, to kind of fuel the fire and give them the motivation that they need. And then in game two, the offense explodes for 13 runs. So 20 runs in 18 innings is something nice. And I do think that, you know, it is the Giants who are sub 500, but they've got another series coming up against the Nationals that is another sub 500 team. So hopefully they ride that momentum. And, you know, Juan Soto gets probably a nice welcome back home. I mean, the fans can't be mad at him for leaving, but at the same time, like, they got to understand. I feel bad for Luke Voit. He's going to look across the dugout and see his old team. And then after that Washington series, we go to Miami, and then we come back again for Washington. So it's a good stretch of games coming up. That Miami rotation is good, but, you know, they're very beatable. They're also sub 500. So, you know, we want to go in there and just keep the momentum going and see if we can chip away at that wild card standing.
Mm-hmm. Miami stinks offensively.
They do.
Let's just say that what it is. The NL's hot, though. That's the only scary thing about it. Like, the Padres can get hot, but every other team is scorching hot as well. If you look at the wild card spots, I think the Brewers are falling off. I think we've said it time and time again, they were beyond asleep at the wheel, dangerously so at the wild card. I mean, at the trade deadline, they're going to miss the playoffs. The Phillies, you guys get Tatis Jr. back, but the Phillies are going to get Bryce Harper back. Rhys Hoskins, I don't know, for years I've been saying Rhys Hoskins is going to be amazing. And finally, in the second half, he's absolutely been a monster. Real Muto has been unbelievable. Their 1-2 of Wheeler and Nola is extremely dangerous. And then you have the Braves, who I will say looked very human against the New York Mets, who in their own right might be the hottest team in baseball outside the Dodgers. Them and the Dodgers are scorching hot. Cody Bellinger maybe turning it around.
Joey Gallo hit a home run too. Look, I don't want to put this out there, but if both of those guys are hot for the next 50 games coming into the playoffs, we saw what Cody did last year, 2 years ago. That could make a huge impact for this team and take some pressure off of guys like Justin Turner, who hasn't had a great season. So the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Padres. I mean, you're talking about three teams right there, the Braves, four teams that just have unlimited bats at their disposal, which means so much because there's so many good pitchers. And obviously the Mets have the dynamic 1-2 punch. Josh, what do you think? Take to the American League for a second here. Are the Astros primed to be nearly waltzing into the World Series?
It's a 2-horse race.
Got it.
And one of the horses is severely injured right now.
Yeah.
Not from actual injury perspective, but the horse isn't trotting as fast as it usually does.
No. And that would be the horse up in the Northeast, I assume you're alluding to.
Yep.
Well, that's why I even asked the question.
So, yeah. No, you're right.
Feel they are a viable contender and just as good of a team to beat out Houston for the race to the World Series on the AL side.
Yeah. I mean, the Yankees could go to the World Series and I wouldn't bat an eyelid for sure. They are not as good as the Houston Astros. And I've been saying that for a long time. They don't have the rotation. And in the playoffs, going into the playoffs this year, who would I rather have, Justin Verlander or Gerrit Cole? It's a no contest. It's Justin Verlander. Valdez has been phenomenal. Urquidy had a rough start his last time out, but he's really nice. Garcia, their bullpen is sweet. Their lineup is ferocious. The Yankees have the MVP. He's minus 450 right now. Aaron Judge is it's a lock. It's almost, and considering what Otani's done on the mound and at B, I mean, dude, like, he pitched like six like shutout or one run innings the other day and hit a home run. It was crazy. And still the MVP is Aaron Judge. The Yankees can still do it. The Twins, the Guardians, the White Sox, whoever comes out of the AL Central, pat yourself on the back. The Mariners are just going to be happy to get in there. The Blue Jays, for as much talent as on the roster, just can't seem to quite click that second gear. And then that's it. Like, we're talking about the Rays and the Orioles. I mean, you don't have the bloodbath that's going to be the NL. And that could be in Houston's favor. Houston will have a bye. So they avoid that three game. There's a three game playoff, best of three for the wild card round. Then you enter the best of five. They're as lethal as anybody in a best of five. And then it gets even more lethal in a best of seven. The Astros can make quick work in the first playoff series. They'll get the rest. They'll make quick work in the first playoff series they have. And then if they do meet the Yankees, like Clay Holmes showing he's human. Mester Cortez is nice, you know, obviously. But they've lost Severino. He's injured. I mean, Stanton's hurt, you know. LeMahieu's been really good. Judge, again, like I've said, has been unbelievable. But the Astros lineup is like the Padres. It's murderer's row. But the NL is extremely interesting, in my opinion. Nick.
I just want to throw a quick stat out there. The Yankees are 12-18 in their last 30 games.
So they're human. They're human.
That is something that's really – it's scary. I mean, for the Yankees to be so – they have so many players on their team that are worth so much, and – even them, they have these cold streaks, and if they get cold at the wrong time, then they can get bounced in the first round.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what's not cold? What produces some sound? Sonos Ray. You should go to Sonos's website, and if you need a new sound bar that you want to hook up to your TV or just a speaker for your place while you're cooking or whatever, cleaning, go get Sonos Ray. Nick is actually about to get Sonos Ray today, install it, which takes about 5 minutes. He's going to be so excited to listen to that crisp, clear sound of the Sonos Ray. Check it out. We love Sonos, and we love the listeners. We love the listeners. Mm-hmm.
We love the listeners. We love Sonos. And before we rock and roll, I want to throw out a crazy bet.
We love Sonos.
Sonos. Sonos. I want to throw out a crazy bet for MVP, Nolan Arenado. I'll leave it at that. All right, fans out there. Drag both feet in bounds. Swing on a full count. Rip that puck. Hit that putt. Hit your PKs because they are free. And hit your free throws, guys. Why?
Because they're free.
Because they're free. We out you. We love you. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.